Hey, it's a Friday. Kyle, I see you moving and shaking over there. You know who else has been moving and shaking? Jarmo Kekäläinen of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Could Patrick Alvin and Jarmo Kekäläinen start dancing together? More on that next. It's Begsy and it's Bowen, and you're listening to Locked On Canucks.
You're Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, 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 welcome to today's episode of Locked On Canucks. My name is Trevor Beggs, Canucks writer and part-time credential media member for Daily High Vancouver. Go ahead and download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. And before we dive into the show, we want to thank you for listening to Locked On Canucks. It's your team every day. Make sure you subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. On today's show, we're going to talk about those Columbus Blue Jackets, okay? They're wheeling and dealing. They're moving and shaking. Could the Canucks be the next team to deal with the Columbus Blue Jackets? Because, hey, they are in win-now mode. Kind of sounds like the Vancouver Canucks, though, I think about it. We're also going to talk about Ethan Bear reports coming out that he may require shoulder surgery. How does that affect his status and the Canucks' overall status in terms of improving their blue line for next season? But first and foremost, let me introduce my co-host. He's in great shape. Okay. No injuries to report here. Kyle Bowen, how you doing, buddy?
Why are you trying to jinx me, bro? 30 years old now. 30 years old. Come on, bro. Well, we're getting older. Hey, speaking about getting older, you're talking about the Blue Jackets GM. How do you pronounce his name? Kekäläinen?
Yeah, Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Kekäläinen, okay. Him and Alvin kind of look alike. All right, both bald. Both from Europe. I wonder if you and when, because it's going to happen to us too down the road, you know, whether it be at 42 or 75, we're going to lose our hair. I wonder if you and I are going to look alike when both of us lose our hair. You think so?
I just wonder if either of us are going to lose our hair, you know? We both got pretty thick heads of hair.
Dude, there you go again, just jinxing us all episode long. Okay. Yesterday you're like, yo, you know, I'm cracking a beer for 500 subscribers. We're not even there yet, and now you're saying, come on, Begsy. Okay, Locked On Canucks, your team every day. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. We'll get to your comments at the end of the show. Yeah, we got one person always commenting about prospects and whatnot, and he's only asking Trevor the questions. Why? Hey, man, we don't have to go there. Okay, we don't have to go there. Let's just go here and talk about Columbus and Vancouver possibly pairing up for a trade down the road. Trevor, talk about this.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the idea of it today. And I kind of said off the top there, the one reason that I think it won't work out is because both teams are in win-now mode. And ironically, I don't think either team should be in win-now mode. That being said, you know, Columbus has done a good job of building their prospect pool, and they're kind of thinking, you know, now's the time to make a change. They're going to get a top three pick in this year's draft. They have a deep pipeline. I think the Athletic rated their prospect pool third in the league back in February. Whereas the Canucks, you know, they're at the bottom of the list there, okay? But when I look at Columbus's depth chart right now, after the Damon Severson deal, after the Ivan Provorov deal, I mean, their defense is looking interesting, and they got a lot of young studs there. So now you're thinking, you know, David Juracek, I don't think he's going anywhere. He's their top right shot defense prospect. But Denton Matichuk, Corson Kuhlmans, could one of those guys be on the move from Columbus now? And I think if you're the Canucks and you're in desperate need to get some blue chip blue liners in the prospect pool, those guys could be intriguing targets. But hey, Kyle, you're going to hate me for saying this, but you know what Columbus really needs? They need a first line center. Oh, and you know who I'm going to bring up now?
Okay. I think you got to relax there.
JT Miller.
Do you think Columbus will continue the shopping spree, or is it over? But can it be over? I mean, if you're already going, I get what you're saying. And I'm not that equipped with the knowledge of the Columbus roster. But if you're going all in like this, you do need a number one center. And I know for sure, I know for sure Columbus doesn't have that. They don't. Gaudreau, Laine, Kent Johnson, right? That dude is sick. Still very young. Cole Sillinger, etc. But yeah, I don't think they have a number one center. Maybe they are hungry for one. Maybe they are. That's something.
I mean, again, you mentioned some of the players there, and Kent Johnson has not played a lot of center at the NHL level. Cole Sillinger actually got demoted at one point last year. He had a pretty rough sophomore campaign. So your top two centers right now are Boone Jenner and Jack Roslovic. I mean, it's just not good enough. So if the Blue Jackets are done, I mean, you know, it's like they've completed half the job. They put one foot in the we're winning door and one foot in the, yeah, we're still rebuilding door. You know, it's like, you know, you put 2 feet in two different doors. You know what you're going to do? You're going to hit yourself in the balls. So, and that's what I see Columbus potentially doing if they stop making moves right now. So, that's what frustrates me about the position the Canucks have put themselves in, because we've said it time and time again, this team is in win now mode, and it's hard to go acquire blue chip prospects when you've already pushed your chips in the middle for next season, right? The Canucks have traded a first and a second for Hronek. Now to go and trade, let's say, JT Miller for like a Denton Matichuk, that'd be a tough move to make.
Yeah, and I guess what you're ultimately saying is Columbus is not the type of partner that the Canucks are willing to deal with, because they are in all win-now mode, and Miller still brings such importance to that lineup and being win-now mode. I guess what I'm trying to say is they need good players, good NHL players to be acquired in trades, not prospects that need time and that still only really hold potential. It just doesn't make sense for a team that's all in. But I will say, do they have any other defensemen that could get, like, again, not equipped with the roster? Do they have any other defensemen that could be now looking for another place to play because their minutes are going to be cut down by a lot? Is there a type of trade to make like that? Because I was thinking about this too. I know these two players are not centers and maybe players that Columbus would really, really want. And I'm not saying that the Canucks should do this too, but you know how we've been talking about Podkolzin and Höglander possibly being sweeteners? Maybe we're jumping the gun there. Why don't we talk about those two players, being a part of hockey type deals? So is there a deal in place with Columbus where Höglander gets traded for a defenseman or a centerman? I'm just thinking out there. Just thinking.
Yeah, I mean, interesting that you bring that up. A couple things to touch on there, but I'll say this. I mean, two of the top defense prospects in Columbus, aside from David Juracek, who, again, you know, really high pick in last year's draft, and he already looking in NHL ready as a teenager, is Denton Matichuk, who was, I think, 12th overall in last year's draft, going to be a standout world junior player this December. And then Corson Kuhlmans, who was a first-round pick back in 2021. Now, I don't think Podkolzin or Höglander are anywhere by themselves or anywhere close to getting it done for Denton Matichuk. I think that guy's ceiling is too high. But Corson Kuhlmans, on the other hand, again, we're talking about a bigger right-shot defenseman with some offensive potential, but not really known for his offensive game. More of a big shutdown defensive defender. Yeah, I do wonder if maybe a Podkolzin or a Höglander for Corson Kuhlmans could be a potential move. I feel like Canuck fans would not be a big fan of that, just because, you know, both those two players still have some pretty high potential. Both those players are older than Corson Kuhlmans, though, who is only 20 years old. An interesting point you bring up there, Kyle. Like, that's the type of deal that could happen. Let's say it's like a Höglander for Corson Kuhlmans. That could be a possibility.
Wow. That type of deal. Again, that type of acquisition for the likes of Höglander and Podkolzin, not just being a part of deals as a sweetener, not being the biggest part of the deal and being a part of a hockey trade. I don't see it, though. I don't see any type of deal with Columbus. And now that we talked about this for 10 minutes and it's been fun, you know, Columbus is shopping heavily and the Canucks need a lot of change, right? Canucks need a lot of change, right? They need to go into next season with a new identity. And instead of just trusting the philosophy change, why not just also throw into the mix a lot of new faces, especially at the important parts of this roster. But again, Columbus and Vancouver just doesn't make a lot of sense for me based on the player types that they have and both teams being in a direction where they've kind of put themselves into a place where they have to win now, and they don't really have they don't have good NHL teams by proof. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're gambling here.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the only way this makes sense for Columbus is if JT Miller's the player going back.
Oh my God. Because, here you go again, bro. It's not happening, bro.
I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I'm saying this is the only way a deal works, because that's what Columbus really needs, is they need a top six center. Ideally, they need a first line center. And, you know, the moves they've made, again, they signed Goudreau to that massive deal. They give up assets for Laine, Provorov, Severson now. It's like, yeah, they're kind of in win-now mode. And, you know, if they don't acquire first-line center, they're not going anywhere. So the only other wild card I'll throw out there is Thatcher Demko. I don't think the Canucks would trade Demko. Again, Columbus is committed to Elvis Merzlikins long-term. He actually is getting paid more than Thatcher Demko.
Wow.
But that's a situation where, you know, they had some of the worst goaltending in the league last season. You know, if they don't shore up that, they're going to be in trouble as well. So, again, I don't think a Demko trade's happening. I don't think a Miller trade's happening, but at least there's a slight possibility there until that no move clause kicks in. So if a deal's going to happen between these two teams, it would have to be something like, you know, Miller for Sillinger and Kuhlman's and maybe a pick or something like that.
Look at you, man. Reaching, dude. I like it, man. I like it. I like the energy, man. I like the energy. That's bold, bro. The prototypical, here's this package for a star NHL player type of trade. You just put those names in that. Come on, man. Again, bro, Trevor Beggs, if it's your first time watching the show, welcome. You know, we're sending you love. Trevor Beggs is a big-time Justin Timberlake hater. He hates all JTs. He doesn't want JTs around him, and that's because when Trevor was younger, he had a crush on Jessica Simpson. And even though JT never dated Jessica Simpson, he always assumed JT was going to steal Jessica Simpson from him. And he's still bitter and jealous and insecure. You know, get over it, man.
Yeah, those are all true words you just said there, Kyle. But I'm gonna brush over my JT hate and just leave it up to the commenters. You know, is there any chance that Patrick Alvina and Jarmo Kekäläinen, the only two European general managers in the NHL, is there any way that those two GMs could swing a deal? And then maybe in the comments, let us know if you think so, what that deal could look like. Again, my suggestion right here was Miller for Kuhlman's and Sillinger. Would you be okay with that as a Canucks fan or a Blue Jackets fan? Who says no? On the other side, going to talk about Ethan Bear. Some news broke about him in terms of possibly requiring shoulder surgery. Oh, man. Again, the World Hockey Championships screwing over the Canucks. But first, Kyle, you and I, we're getting older, grumpier, crustier. And for guys like us, we need to prioritize comfort. That's why we got to chuck out our skinny jeans and slide our legs into some Bird Dogs shorts. Hey, true story here, Kyle. When I first put on a pair of my Bird Dog shorts, there was a little herd of hummingbirds down there, and they were just, you know, manscaping my you-know-what. And when I took the shorts off, I had a beautiful trim down there, made my wife a very happy lady. So yeah, wow. Bird Dogs, it's more than just a pair of shorts. Find out for yourself by going to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL. And when you enter promo code LockedOnNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Manscaping hummingbirds probably not included.
You're back on Locked On Canucks, your team every day. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. The weekend is coming up, Beggsy, and it seems as if every weekend is a big weekend for you right now. And it was minivan testing the other week, and now it's patiently waiting for the best thing ever. And yeah, just more peace going your way. And dude, just drink some water, okay? That's the only advice. How do I know what you're going through?
It's all done.
Just drink some water and breathe and read books, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I think it's like the third weekend in a row where I thought my wife was going to give birth, and we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. But I like how you're saying it's a big weekend for me, and you're the one out there, like, you know, you're helping throw a big party in downtown Vancouver, man. You're living, buddy. You're living in a completely
dude,
different
way. It's what
happens,
okay? Come on. It's what happens when you practice safe sex, all right, Begsy? For real, dude. You just, okay? Just keep doing me, baby. All right. Locked On Canucks, your team every day. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. Ethan Bear, man, you said it before the break, right? You said that the World Championships might have ruined something else for the Vancouver Canucks. Another player gets hurt. I know this is me being super, super selfish, because the first thing I should say is get well soon. Ethan Bear, big time dog lover, missing NHL games because his dog passed away. One love to Ethan Bear. But is there a way where somehow – this, again, such a dark thing to say, but this is a good thing. Such a dark thing to say. A good thing for the Canucks and their cap, because maybe not the decision making. Like, I don't think this makes them, you know, completely run away from a guy like Ethan Bear. He's still an RFA, but does that number go down?
I mean, theoretically, yes. And I know what you mean, right? That's the weird thing about us always knowing like what every player makes nowadays. I know it wasn't like that back in the day, but yeah, it theoretically does make the Canucks cap situation a bit better. I'm just going to put the cap aside for a second. We will definitely talk about it. But I think the one big concern here is how healthy is Ethan Bear going to be going into next season? Obviously, that affects his cap hit as well. We already saw it last season, okay? Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he fractured his foot at the World Championships. It was only a 4 to 6 week injury timeline, but he came back and, you know, he basically talked about it, and maybe as a scapegoat for his bad play, but he talked about how that injury affected him in the season. So with Ethan Bear now, again, according to Rick Dhaliwal, if he does require shoulder surgery, he'll be out for a few months. That's a little longer than OEL's timeline last spring.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect him going into the season? Again, we're projecting this guy potentially playing with Quinn Hughes on the top pair. Now he might not even be healthy for training camp. I mean, it leaves the Canucks in a really weird and uncomfortable position moving 100%. Forward. So, yeah, and in terms of his contract, so his qualifying offer is $2.2 million. So at this point, it might make sense for that one-year show-me deal, but if you're going to do that, you're likely going to have to sign him at $2.2 million. So I'll throw that to you, Kyle. Would you be comfortable, or would you do it as Patrick Galvin, sign Ethan Barrett's qualifying offer for a one-year $2.2 million contract?
Probably not. With this injury happening, no. And I would leverage the fact that Ethan Bear has moved a lot in the early part of his NHL career. And I know it's super unfortunate, but again, we're talking about professional sports. The Canucks need to manage their cap and get lucky. You know, I'm thinking so dark right now. This is crazy. But you know what I'm saying? What? They need to win.
Look at that dark room you're in, man.
They need to win every deal. They need to win every deal. And I feel as if there is a way to not qualify him. And maybe Ethan Bear gets mad at that. But also at the same time, the Canucks come at him with a different deal for 1 year, less money or something. I don't know. I know it sounds weird and just bank on the fact that maybe this guy's like, I'm a little bit comfortable here. I do get a chance to play with Quinn Hughes when I'm back. I know the guys, and I'm tired of moving around. I know these guys trust me too. He couldn't even get into Carolina's decor. You know, we bring it up, Jalen Chatfield. You know, we just say that name to compare. You know what I'm saying? There's no guarantee that this guy's going to go somewhere else and get a chance. And again, his chance here is with Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, honestly, man, I think that's a fantastic take. And it is dark because, again, we're talking about negotiations, which do get, you know, heated at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right if the Canucks can leverage that. But here's the thing, right? If Ethan Bear doesn't get qualified, he'll become a UFA, right?
Yeah,
and then if he goes to the open market, he's going to make more than $2.2 million. So
you think so? Bro, come on. It's Ethan. He's not Luke Shen. He's Ethan Bear, bro.
We talked about it this week. Shout out to the Everydayers. They've heard this already. We talked about how thin the defenseman market is. And look, even in the past week, two of the top 10 names in terms of scoring among defensemen, they're off the list. Vladislav Gavrikov and Damon Severson. Ethan Bear would be on that top 10. He's probably top 8 right now.
I don't know,
scoring last season. The guy only had 21 points.
Ethan Bear could not crack Carolina's roster. And then when he started playing NHL
hockey
games
again. That's Carolina, though. Carolina. No,
but when he started playing NHL hockey games again, he was a big part of the defensive core of one of the worst NHL teams in the league. One of the worst defensive teams in the league. So is he really that appealing? Like, how is he not? I don't know. I get it. But I just want the Canucks to win on a couple deals, man. Selfish, you know. This is eating my soul, you know. Trying to give it to the people, give some honesty to the people. But real talk, man. Getting older. My birthday was a couple weeks ago. Two, I'm just elevated, you know. It's hard, just you know, just being a sports fan when, again, you're kind of like, damn, I'm an older dude. I could get hurt at any time, and look at me saying. Voila, the Canucks got to win this deal, and they might win it now because this guy needs shoulder surgery. Like his summer's ruined. And you know, Trevor, man, this is what happens, man. See, Trevor brought me back on Locked On Canucks. He has me talking about the Canucks every day, and I'm not going to lie. It's been positive for the last couple of days, but there's moments where I got to spend time being negative and dark. Come on, man. Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen, Locked On Canucks, man.
You know, I think it's for the audio only listeners. I think it's because I think you're feeling so dark because this is the darkest I've ever seen the studio, man. It looks like you're recording in a haunted house right now.
It does, man. It does. I don't know how this happened. I had no time to kind of move things around, but it kind of looks cool, man.
No, something I like it. Else, I like man. It. Yeah, it's all good.
Something else, man. Anywho,
it's all good.
So you think there's no chance? There's no chance if they don't qualify him, they can't get him for less. The bridge will be burned. And again, he's a good defensive player too. He's a good defenseman. He's going to get paid somewhere else.
I don't want to say no chance because, again, we kind of saw with Brock Besser last season. The qualifying offer was 7.5, and the same management group renegotiated on a contract paying $6.65 million a season. Mm-hmm. Again, that hasn't looked good in hindsight, but I think something similar could happen with Ethan Bear. I just don't know if I put my money on it. It depends what Ethan Bear wants, right? Like you said right now, like Ethan Bear probably won't have a better opportunity to succeed than he does here with the Vancouver Canucks playing alongside Quinn Hughes. He's probably not going to find that anywhere else, although he could probably make a few more bucks if he decides to, you know, hit free agency. If he does go unqualified, that is.
Yeah.
Well, Ethan Bear, who knows, will be a member of the Vancouver Canucks. But one thing I do know is that Kyle and I will be here on Locked On Canucks. And another thing I know is that Common Corner's on the other side. But first, I got to shout out another sponsor. Wait, who am I shouting out again? Oh, I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I think it's Game Time. I got to shout out to Game Time, okay? You know, I'm a big last-minute deals guy, and I found that the best place for killer deals at the last minute is Game Time. You know, Game Time, they got my back, especially Nicole at Game Time. She's really got my back. You know, she must have a thing for me because she's always hitting me up with emails at least once a week, teasing me with concerts and events this week in my area. Hey, Nicole, I'm married, okay? I'm married. Just got back off a little bit. But, you know, those emails, that they do got me thinking, man, because I got concerts this week, concerts and events in my area every week. Let's go, baby. And, you know, Game Time, they offer you the Game Time guarantee. You want to hear about it, Kyle? Here's what it is. If you find tickets in the same section or row for less on another app, Game Time will credit you with 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. And download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
You're back. You're back on Locked On Canucks, your team. Every day, shout out to the everydayers, okay? And shout out to the people, again, not watching this on this Friday afternoon. We sending you love too, okay? The weekend's coming up. Begsy earlier this week brought up the fact that, again, you know, he's celebrating early, you know, 490 subscribers. He's already using the number 500. It's like, dude, why don't you just appreciate the 490 that are there, all right? And celebrate with them. All I'm trying to say is pat yourself on the back this weekend. Give yourself a break. And give yourself some flowers, man. For real. Why not? We're only here once. But hey, we're only here every day, Monday to Friday again on Locked On Canucks, your team. Every day. And we do this for the people, right? The people that cheer for the same team that we do. It's a beautiful thing. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Comment corner at the end of every show. First comment comes from Kemper Canucks again. Kemper Canucks. I don't know if this guy's a big Locked On Canucks fan or a big Trevor Beggs fan. That's all I'm saying, okay? Trevor Beggs, at 11, there seems to be a lot of studs available, but if Vancouver doesn't get a center and goes defense, which D are you hoping for? Answer the question.
Yeah, so shout out to Kempner Canucks for commenting again. So he mentioned Axel Sandin Palicka there. I don't love him for the Canucks at 11. Again, if he truly is the best player available, which I don't really think he is, based on some of the tape I've watched on other forwards available. I don't love Sandin Palicka at 11. I know some people really love him, but I just think another small, undersized defenseman. You know, last time a small, undersized Swedish defenseman went that high in the draft was Erik Brännström, right? Everyone wants, you know, the next Erik Karlsson, but Erik Brännström, you know, it hasn't quite worked out for the Senators, although he had a better year this year. If it's not Reinbacher, I would probably lean Simashev. Like, he's a guy when I've watched the tape who I'm really, really intrigued by. Just a big, towering 6'4 Russian defenseman. Again, scouts are really divided on him, but I love what I've seen from him tape-wise. And Tom Molander. I mean, I actually saw this on The Athletic as well. The Athletic had a mock draft this week. And Tom Molander, another Swedish defenseman, I believe right shot as well. He got picked by the Canucks at 11. And well-rounded game, late season riser. Again, he's probably a bit of a reach at 11. But again, he's kind of got that top four projection. So I don't hate it, but I don't necessarily love it either. But I'd go Simashev if Ron Bach's not available.
What a nerd. Trevor Bagg's the biggest nerd, okay? This is Ricky with the next comment. Shout out to Ricky's, man. One love to Ricky, man. Is any of this possible without Ricky? I don't know, okay? Ricky AZ, my bad. They can't trade him. And Ricky is referring to Besser, okay? Yesterday's episode dedicated to Besser and the trade and him staying, blah, blah, blah. They can't trade him because he's overpaid and nobody wants him. He's slow, inconsistent, bloated, and ugly.
Okay, he didn't say ugly.
Yo, this guy.
Kyle's lying. Audio only listeners, Kyle's lying to you.
This guy hates Brock. He hates Brock Besser, man. I think it's because he's a like a big WWE fan, and Brock Lesnar always beat up on his boys. Who was your favorite wrestler back in the day? Let's end the show off on that note, okay? Who was your favorite wrestler? This will tell me a lot about your personality.
Oh no! Now I'm feeling pressure.
No pressure. What's in your heart? The first thing, dude. Come on, man.
I kind of liked the darker guys in terms of like it almost like feels like Satanism in a bit. But Kane and Undertaker were two of my favorite wrestlers for sure. They're always like Undertaker coming out of the coffin, and Kane's always looking demonic. Like, so I don't know. I don't like how you ask that. It's going to say something about my personality. But yeah, those are probably my two favorite WWE guys growing up.
Okay, cool. Legends. Legends who bring the heat, right? Okay, I'm going to name two then as well. Okay, first one, Jeff Hardy. That dude was...
Oh, yeah, he was cool.
That dude was dope, man.
Is so your second dope. One Matt Hardy?
No, my second one is Mankind.
Oh, Mankind was a legend. Yeah,
this guy put it all on the line, okay? All on the line, and as a hockey fan growing up, right, early 2000s, it was still more of a dangerous sport, right? More things happening, more people putting it all on the line. You know, skating at fast speeds, skating on blades, nailing each other, getting into fights, fist fights on ice. It was extreme. I think I connected that with Mankind and his braveness. That guy was courageous, and he put on a show. Hey, speaking of which, that's the end of this show right here. Locked On Canucks. Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen, your team every day. Hit the subscribe button, the like button, and comment, man. Comment. Send Beggsy some love. You know what? Predict Beggsy's son's name. Okay, we had one person.
Oh, that's a good one.
We had one person actually ride with the Brock Beggs name. It was Clutton, Hayden Clutton. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, that man, Brock Beggs, yo, double B.
Shout out to Hayden Clutton. Yeah. I'm curious to see what the commenters say. Let's hear. Maybe I'm undecided on the name. I know wifey and I have been going back and forth for a while. So hit me up with your name suggestions for my son in the comments. But for now, that's another episode of Locked On Canucks in the books. Who knows if I'll be back on Monday, Kyle. We'll see what happens this weekend. But regardless, a shout out to the everydayers. You know, we love you guys. You know, if you're an occasional listener, we also love you. And if you're a first-time listener, hey, guess what? We love you as well. Coming up next week on the show, we were going to talk about Colson and Hoglander today. But I did want to touch on Columbus, Vancouver, and the Ethan Bear news. So I look for Podkolzin and Hoglander talk coming up next week. Kyle might be doing some solo shows by himself. I don't know what Kyle's talking about, but I know I'm going to be listening at 3 a.m. when I rock my baby to sleep. And if I'm on the show, you can be sure that we're going to talk a little more draft as well, because it's that time, baby. It's that time. It's 2.5 weeks away now. Franchises are going to change and deals are already happening, Kyle. So stay tuned for that here on Locked On Canucks. But for now, I'm Trevor Beggs. That guy's Kyle Bowen. And we thank you again for listening to Locked On Canucks.